Hello. You guys. Some of you guys. So anyway, hey, I want to say just one thing. I kind of reiterating what Daniel was talking about, the whole back to school thing. Man, it's so bittersweet, especially in our house, like our children. You have, how many of you guys know there are kind of two groups of kids? You have smart kids and you have athletic kids. We have athletic kids. They don't like school. So like this is, tomorrow is going to be a wrecking ball in their world. It's just going to destroy them. So we're waking them up bright and early and sending them to school. And so all the parents said, amen. Yeah, because I don't know. I love my kids, but I'm glad summer's over in so many ways. And if you're a parent and you're honest, you'll say the same thing. So not when they're here. You don't say that stuff in front of them, obviously. Hey, so today we're continuing our series called One Another. And so kind of to give you some of the backstory, we're building up to small groups, and we're talking about the importance of community and relationships and discipleship. And we just believe that all of that happens in kind of two places. It happens and it starts, we believe, in kind of a church community. You start relationships, but obviously, I mean, let's take a look around the room. You can't build deep relationships with every person in the room, especially in, you know, an hour and 15, hour and a half on a Sunday morning. So we think that more needs to be done, thus small groups. We have small groups where you can get more personal and kind of, here's the deal, like we just, if we're honest with ourselves and we're honest with each other, we all know that we need people to speak truth into our lives, because there are times where maybe your mind plays tricks on you. I don't know about you, but my mind, man, sometimes I'm like, you need to shut up. Just stop talking to me, because my mind will play tricks on me and it'll tell me things that aren't true. You know, there's actual, like, there, you can look in the Bible and find all of this and it's all true. But there's actually psychological terms. There's one called impact bias, and it's where your mind will tell you that the thing that you're about to do is actually better than it is. Have you heard of the expression, the grass is greener on the other side? And then you get to the other side and you realize that the grass is greener because it's sewage. Right? And so impact bias, it kind of tricks your mind into thinking that whatever it is that you're about to take on or do that you know you shouldn't do is better than what it really is. And so we need people in our lives that love us enough to say, hey, yo, dog, stop. Don't do it, right? And so that's just one aspect of community. There's so much more than that. So that's kind of what we've talked about up to this point, just the need for community. Last week we talked about bearing with one another, being patient with one another. And if you're anything like me, you get to, anytime you talk about patience, you just get ready, because it's coming, right? And if you don't know, now you know. And so when you talk about patience, or you guys have heard this expression, like when you pray for patience, just get ready, because, you know, you're going to be tested to see if you have patience or not. And so we had some stuff happen this week. Matter of fact, Sunday afternoon, I mean, we weren't even out of church for an hour, and I got an email from a lady that was just, you know, talking about stuff that I didn't want to deal with. So, but that was my week. Hope you had a good one. Anyway, today what we're going to do is there's so many one another's that we're just going to combine two today, just to kind of cover as much ground as possible. So what we're going to talk about today is to love one another and to encourage one another. And I think these are those obvious Christian things, right? Like we know that we're supposed to love one another, and we know that we're supposed to encourage one another, but I think it's one of those things that we could always stand to get a little bit better at and understand a little bit more, so that we know how to do it a little more efficaciously. That's efficient. That was good. So without further ado, we're going to look at number one, which is to love one another. And so let me back up just a little bit again. I like to go, you know, it's go time. When I get up here and I get the mic and I got a Red Bull in my system, it's go time, right? So I got to back up sometimes, and I got to clarify what it is that I just said. The New Testament has about 30 of these one another commands, you know, like we talked about last week, bear with one another. We're going to talk about this week, love one another, encourage one another. We're going to talk about next week, forgiving one another. So everybody better be here for that, because if you don't, I'm going to have a hard time forgiving you for it. You see how this stuff works? It's important. And so there's just a lot of these one another's, and this one should be like the most obvious, but a lot of times what's sad is that a lot of people, they know it, but they fail on the follow through. A lot of times it's not what we know, it's what we do, and sometimes the doing is lacking. And so like I said, it's one of those Christian no-brainers, or at least it should be. We all know by now, even if you didn't grow up in church or you haven't been, you know, to church very long at all, you know that you're supposed to love your neighbor. Right? We've all heard that. We know that Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Like, we know that. We know that Christianity is supposed to be about love. And if you read 1 John, you see so many expressions of God is love. And so if we follow this God who is love, then our religion should be full of hatred. No. Love, right? Okay, just making sure you guys are paying attention. So, and we've heard, how many of you guys have been to a wedding, I don't know, in the last few months? All right, yeah. So if you've been to a wedding ever, you've heard 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that love is patient. And that love is kind. And here's the deal. I don't have the greatest. It's gotten better since I started marrying motion people. You guys, y'all actually like each other, so that's good. But in my past, I've done, I don't know, 15 or 20 weddings. And, man, half of them, they weren't good. I'm just being honest with you. Can I be honest with you guys? And so for a while, I was like, it's me. I'm cursed. I don't know what the deal is. And so I probably should spend a little more time on 1 Corinthians 13 in these weddings. Love is patient. It means you don't run at the first opportunity when things get hard, because love, we're going to stop. Anyway, we get that Christianity should be filled with love. We know that. But I think that we could always do a better job at loving people and figuring out ways to express our love for other people. There's this verse in John chapter 13. And again, you've probably heard this. If not, it's really simple, but it's really powerful. It says in verses 34 and 35, it says, "A new command I give you." And I think it's interesting. We'll come back to that. So just kind of lock that in the vault. Throw the key away. Don't do that again. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you," this is Jesus talking to the disciples, "as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Like the one another part. I just kind of, you know, pick the version that's most advantageous to what it is I'm trying to say. I'm just kidding. But I think it's interesting. Kind of, it starts with this whole, "a new command I give to you." And I thought that was, I was thinking about this, and it kind of makes sense. It's not like we're not supposed to, let me start in the Old Testament. You see that there's a law that was given, and so there was a way that people were supposed to live, but the law was always about action, not necessarily about heart. And so it told you how to treat other people, and it told you things that you should do to other people and not do to other people. And it was always about the action, but not necessarily about the heart. And I think Jesus, when he says that "a new command I give to you," he says he's going to take it to another level. He's going to talk about your attitude, your motive, and your heart in doing things for other people. So I think that's the new aspect to the command. But the command is really simple. And he says to love one another. And I think that it's really important that we get this right, because I think it has a great deal of influence on our ability to reach other people and influence other people. Because if you look at in verse 35, he says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And so, unfortunately, that's not really the world that we live in. That's not the way that Christianity is portrayed, because, like, we have this tendency to kind of infight, and we have this tendency to split hairs, and when we have a disagreement, we make a big deal about it. Like, just in general, nobody in this room and, you know, nobody in here has ever had a problem like that at all, right? And so Christianity, for unfortunately, isn't usually portrayed or received kind of in the world that we live in as this people that love each other. It's usually perceived as the most judgmental place on earth, or the most judgmental place in town. I've heard people say that bars are more welcoming than the church. And how jacked up is that? Like, tell me what's up with that. Like, how in the world could, based on what we know the Bible to say in John chapter 13, that our command from Jesus is to love one another, and bars are more welcoming than churches? We messed up somewhere, right? Not Motion, but other churches, of course. Right? It's never us. We never point the finger at ourselves. And so I think it's really important that we get this right, and we'll spend just a little bit of time on it. But I think it's so important, because here's the deal. Like, we represent Jesus to the world. Like, we are, and you've heard these expressions maybe if you've been to church, like, we're the hands and feet of Jesus to the world that we live in. We may be the only expression of Jesus that other people get to see, because they may not darken the doors of the church. And so it's our responsibility to represent him as well as we can, and love is the key factor in doing that. And so with all of that in mind, I want to give you just a couple of nuggets. I hate that, but I always say it. I don't like saying nuggets, but speaking of nuggets, have you guys seen how they make chicken nuggets at McDonald's? Don't. And if you do, you'll never eat them again, I promise. Of course, you shouldn't eat that place anyway. It's terrible. You guys remember the documentary Supersized? That's the problem with the world. There we go. I'm done talking about McDonald's. Corporate greed. Anyway, the first thing to know about loving one another, and we talked about this a little bit last week with patience, love is a choice. And man, I could get riled up about this one, but I'm going to try to stay as calm and cool and collected as possible, because this is what happens. We'll just use marriage as an example. Now, this can be in any relationship, but it seems to be most obvious or happen the most in marriage, is that you hear people say things like, I just don't love him anymore. And then that usually leads to divorce, right? This is the world that we live in. 50% of marriages, give or take, plus or minus, that start end in divorce. And so usually the reason, I mean, there's legitimate reasons and things happen, but a lot of times you just hear people say, well, I just don't love him anymore. And so what we've done is we've kind of morphed love into an emotion and a feeling, and love was never an emotion or feeling. Love is a choice. Like, you choose to love somebody. I mean, just think about this. So as Christians, as people who follow Jesus, our greatest example and template and the one who shows us what love is Jesus. And if you look in Romans chapter 5, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Like, he loved us enough to die on the cross for him, even while we were enemies of him. And so love is not a feeling. I'm sure he didn't feel good about dying for us on the cross while we were enemies of his life. And so for us, it's the correlation should be obvious. Like, it's not a feeling, and it's not an emotion, and it's not, you know, this roller coaster. I love you, I love you not, right? She loves me, she loves me not. Like, it's not that. It's a choice. You decide whether or not you're going to love people. And you decide, regardless of how you feel about it or whatever they've done to you or however wrong, you know, they've made you feel, then you choose to love them. And then that's good. So anyway, I'm trying not to get riled up. But as the great theologian Mr. Miyagi said, if you were born in the 80s, you love Mr. Miyagi, right? So Mr. Miyagi said this. He said, never put passion before principle. And so, man, I think he nailed it, right? I mean, who needs any other theologian than Mr. Miyagi when he's dropping wisdom on you like that? Never put passion before principle. Here's the deal. We choose to love. That is our principle. And we don't put passion, how we feel and emotions that we have, before our principles. We don't go there. That's not what we do. We choose to love. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14 through 14. We read this last week talking about bearing with one another and being patient with one another. But at the end of the verses we read last week is one of those that just really drives home this idea. This is what it says. It says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And so last week we talked about how the expression put on was really important, because you choose to put on patience and kindness and humility and compassion. It is a choice. And so if you don't have those things, it's because you failed to put them on. Like, we talked about getting dressed, and now some people wear things that I don't understand, and we won't go there, right? You choose how you choose to dress frumpy, or you choose to dress dapper. You look good, right? And so it's the same thing. Like, you choose how you're going to act and react to people and circumstances and situations. And then in 13, verse 13, it says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And then in verse 14, like, all of those are awesome. Those are great. Those are life-changing things. But in verse 14, it says, beyond all of these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. To make this community everything that it should be and everything that would be honoring to God for a group of people to be, love is the most important thing in that. It's the way that we overcome our differences. There's this verse that's so cool. It says that love covers a multitude of sins. Like, here's the deal. You and I are different, and you are different, and you are different. Like, we're just different people. We have different personalities. We have different things that make us tick. And the only way that we ever get along, and not just get along, but even more than that, is to love each other, because love covers those differences. It covers a multitude of sins. We have to choose to put on love. Never put passion before principle. Aye? Aye. That's the first one. It's just that love is simply a choice. The second one is this, and this may seem like a bit of a contradiction of terms based on what we talked about last week, but give me a minute to explain. And it's to move from tolerate to celebrate. Last week, I kind of gave you an out, and I said, hey, here's the deal. Some people, you just got to tolerate. Like, there's some people that just irk you. There's some people that just get under your skin, and they make your skin crawl, and you're like, oh, Lord, help me, right? Like, you've never prayed as much as you pray when you get around these people, because, like, you're just praying that the Lord doesn't take your hand and cause you to lay hands on them, right? Spiritually, of course, right? Just kidding. We don't condone violence around here. But sometimes I think that should be the exception rather than the norm, rather than the rule, like this whole tolerating instead of celebrating. If we take our love to the level that we celebrate people and not just bear with them and not just endure them and not just, oh, God, here she goes again, you know. If we really, really love and celebrate each other, I think it takes our love in a community to a whole nother level. And so here's the deal. Like, I mean, I think you guys are pretty smart. You know that we live in a relatively, I don't know, somewhat cynical world. We live in a world that's, I don't know, just a little bit critical. Just a little bit. Just a tad. Just a smidge. If you're looking for a good measurement, it's a smidge. Like, if you're making a cake, just put a smidge of sugar in there. No, put a lot of sugar in there. And so that's just the world that we live in. It's cynical and it's critical. And that's unfortunately, we kind of let this be the dominating attitude and emotion of just about everybody. You very rarely find people who celebrate people as opposed to tolerating people. You very rarely find people who choose to be positive when everybody else is negative. But that's not us. Like, that's not the way that we should play the game. And I know last week, like I said, I gave you an out on this, but just disregard everything I said last week. It wasn't true. I'm kidding. That's just, sometimes there are very rare instances where all you can do is tolerate. But for the most part, I think we should celebrate people. It's what we're called to do, and we're better for it. Like, I mean, just think about this. Just imagine or think about kind of in terms of us being part of a community that's part of a larger community, right? A community of people that's part of a community, aka Longview. Does that make any sense? How do you think that we're reflected when we take time to celebrate each other as opposed to just tolerate each other? Like, here's the deal. You can argue with our theology all the day long, but you can't argue with our love for each other, and you can't argue with our passion and compassion for each other. And so I think it's just really important that we do this and we get this and we celebrate each other as opposed to just tolerating each other. And isn't that what people are looking for? Like, aren't they looking for a group of people, a family or friends or relationships that love them for who they are and not what they've done, and they don't hold things over their head, and they don't you know, kind of bicker about the differences that they have? Like, isn't that what people are looking for? And isn't it a shame that the church isn't the place that they go to find it? Like we said, most people consider the church the most judgmental place in town. And, man, it's crazy that we've gotten to this point, and I think that we've got a lot of work in undoing the stereotype, but I suspect that we're up for the task, right? You're up for the task. I'm up for the task. Everybody get down with the task. I get a little warm up here, and I get poetic in the heat. It's crazy. So that's the first one, the first one another. The second one is really simple. It's kind of a continuation of love one another. And I guess more than that, it's an expression of loving one another, and it's to encourage one another. And you hear this stuff, I think, all the time, especially at church. And I think even when Daniel was talking about small groups, we talked about the discipleship aspect and encouraging one another. And so it's one of those things that we hear about a lot, but I think so many times we only understand in part, and there's more to the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. You don't remember that? Maybe if I talked about Pokemon, you know what I'm talking about. So that's the second one another command we're going to talk about, is to encourage one another. Again, kind of using society as contrast. Like, if you turn on, let me just ask you a question. Have you guys turned on the news in the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? I don't even watch the news anymore because my blood pressure starts to elevate within 15 minutes of watching the news, because it's like, these guys are just yelling at each other, and they hate each other, and they're so, I mean, I kind of respect the fact that they're so passionate about what they're talking about, But I'm like, you're not doing any good. In fact, all you're really doing is making the other guy more angry, and he's making you more angry, and now you're making me angry because I'm watching it. And you see what happens to my blood pressure? I need a medic. Jeez. It's just, it's crazy. Like, that's the world that we live in. And what's sad is that the person that's the loudest and the most cutting and cunning usually is the most influential. And so we follow people and we listen to people and we want to know what they have to say when they're the ones that are negative and pessimistic and kind of slight people. And it's just, that's not us. Like, that's not who we are supposed to be. It would be one thing if that's the way it was in the world and, you know, all the world is so negative. But what's sad is that you find this in church people too and in Christianity too. And what's the most disturbing, I think, about this is that all of the yelling and all of the bickering and fighting, all it does, it doesn't solve anything. All it does is perpetuate the problem and it further divides us. And so I think as a group of people, we just got to say, that ain't me. So that would be good for you to say right after I said, that ain't me. You'd be like, yeah, that ain't me. Okay, maybe next time. And so, like I said, it would be one thing if that's just, you know, something that happened outside of the four walls of the church, but it's not. It happens within the church because our attitudes, like, here's the deal. You're not two different people outside of church and inside of church, or you shouldn't be. Hello. Do I need to spend some time on that one? Because I can. I mean, we can make a little room for that. But that's your attitudes that you have outside of church you carry into the church, and attitudes that you have inside of the church you should carry outside of the church. And those attitudes shouldn't be attitudes of cynicism and critique and bitterness and negativity. And so what we've got to do is just realize that, hey, we play by a different set of rules. And this is what we've kind of, you've seen this, I'm sure, at different points in your life. People who are following Jesus act like they're on different teams sometimes. I'm like, no, dog. Like, we're both on the same team. Like, you love Jesus, I love Jesus. I don't like the devil, you don't like the devil. It's a win-win, right? But they act like they're on completely different teams, and they fight like they're fighting their bitter rival. And that's just not the way that it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be encouraging. In this game that we're playing, we play by a different set of rules. And the different set of rules tells us to encourage one another, to build each other up rather than tearing each other down. Like, here's the deal. Because of the way that I grew up in the your mama joke age, you know. I don't know if that was still cool when you guys were growing up. But, I mean, I had a repertoire of your mama jokes. Like, I'll give you one. You want one? Your mama should not. I should not. I was so close. I was so close. It involved putting on a belt with a boomerang. But I'm not going to tell you the joke. But that's just not the set of rules that we play by. We play by a different set of rules. Just because that's the way it is in the world and that's the way that other people act and that's the way that society is doesn't make it okay for us. It doesn't justify it for us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I'm going to rapid fire some of these things at you. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We don't talk about this one enough because this is one of those verses that's like, that's a little weird. You didn't think so? Because I don't see you guys walking around singing to each other, which is what it says to do right here. So if you want to be a real Christian, you start walking around and you start singing to people. You understand? I'm just kidding. I mean, I don't know. That'd be cool. I like to sing, but I cannot sing. It just ain't right. So it says, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Like, it doesn't say anything about let your hearts be ruled with negativity and bitterness and hate everybody. It's just, I don't think it's in there. And it says in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Like, it's just a completely different mentality. It's a completely different attitude. Like I said, just because it's one way in the world, in fact, that gives us a greater reason to not go down that path because we are called to be set apart. In First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, this is what it says. Therefore, and if it says therefore, you have to see what it's there for. Doo-doo. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as, in fact, you are doing. And I love the way that Paul does that. He's like, here's the deal. You need to encourage each other, encourage one another, and build each other up. And you're doing that. but do it even more. It's like he's encouraging them to continue to encourage each other, right? So I think that's good. And I feel like in a lot of ways, that's us. That's who we are. I think we do a good job of encouraging each other, but I think we could always do a better job of encouraging each other. You can never over encourage people, right? Unless you're a cheerleader. Like your team's down 57-0 and you're like, we want a touchdown. You ain't getting a touchdown. Not happening. I didn't watch the cheerleaders much. I couldn't come up with a chant on go. Anyway, so that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 3. This is another really good one, so get your minds right, people. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. It says, but encourage one another daily. And I just love the way that Paul kind of puts a timestamp on that. He's like, you know, don't encourage each other once a month because that's not enough. And don't make it, you know, once every 6 months or once a quarter. Like every single day, encourage each other because that's what we need. He says, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And I think it's so cool that if we get that, we listen to that last part, I think there's a lot of truth and stuff in there that's really powerful and kind of applicable to what we're talking about here. Here's the deal. Like we talked about in the beginning, we need people who love us enough to speak the truth into our life. And encouragement isn't always, oh, you look so pretty. I mean, if you want to say that, that's fine. That's cool. And let me back up on the whole encouragement thing. Typically, we kind of promote, you know, guys encourage guys, girls encourage girls, because otherwise it's like, you look so pretty. I felt like a creep. We went to the Laterno church fair yesterday, and I felt like a creep because I was walking around handing out candy. I was like, hey, you want some candy? I was like, the only thing that's missing is like a full-size white van. You know, I'm like. But anyway. Right? I mean, you want a Butterfinger? Come get in my car. But typically, we kind of say, hey, you know, guys, encourage guys, girls, encourage girls. I mean, unless it's your girlfriend or something. But other than that, like, we know what you're doing. Like, it's one thing to say, hey, man, I'm thinking about you. I love you. And it's one thing to say to a female, I've been thinking about you. And you guys are smart enough to figure that out. Now, if y'all start running game under the kind of the umbrella of encouragement, touche. I got nothing for you. And so that's not one aspect of encouragement. One aspect of encouragement is kind of the idea that sometimes people need to tell us that we're better than that. We're better than the thing that we're about to do. We're better than the choice that we're about to make. We're better than the relationship that we're about to get into or we're currently in. And so encouragement isn't always rainbows and sunshines and unicorns, right? Sometimes encouragement is it's a hard conversation that, hey, I don't think this is what's best for you. And that can be encouragement. It may feel negative, but at the end of the day, it's what's best for you, which is encouragement. We kind of limit encouragement to just the words that we say, right? But I think there's so much more to it than that. If you look at the definition, kind of the Greek word of encouragement, I'll probably mess this up, but it's something to the effect of parakaleo, P-A-R-A-kaleo, K-A-L-E-O, parakaleo. And the word, it means a lot of the things that we know it to mean. It means to console, to encourage, to strengthen by consolation, to comfort, and to admonish. Like what we say to each other is encouragement. But there's another part of the definition that I think is really cool. And I don't think we think about it like this sometimes. The definition is to call to one's side. And when we encourage somebody, sometimes it's like, hey, come with me on this journey. Come with me. Walk with me. Hey, let's do life together. And we use that expression sometimes, and then sometimes I think it just sounds really cool, but we don't know what it means. But it is this biblical idea of every day, man, we encourage each other. We're on a journey together. We do life together. Come by my side. And dude, whatever you go through, I'm with you, and whatever I go through, I know that you're with me, and we have this camaraderie and this brotherhood and this discipleship that's taking place because we choose to encourage one another. And I think that is probably the greatest descriptor of community and encouraging one another that we could possibly get, this idea that we are with each other, that it doesn't matter what we go through. Because here's the deal. Like, I think every one of us know that we just really want to know that somebody loves us. And we really want to know that even if we face the most difficult season in our life, that we know for a fact that that person is going to be there, or that one person that we can lean on is going to be there. And I think that community is the greatest way to find that. I think that this one another idea and encouraging one another is the greatest way to find those people, get those people in your life that love you sometimes in spite of you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes they put up with you. Sometimes they tolerate you. But for the most part, they celebrate you. They love you for who you are. And they're with you, rain or shine, you know, high water. You know what I'm talking about. And so I think this whole thing kind of hinges on the fact that we're just honest enough with ourselves to realize that life is going to have ups and it's going to have downs. But those ups are a lot better if you do it with other people. And the downs don't have to be as devastating if we do it with other people. It kind of stabilizes our life a little bit, because you can become a bit of a roller coaster if you just use, kind of coming back to our emotions, if you just ride your emotions, that's not a fun ride. Like, that's not what you need. You need to ride a truth roller coaster, that this is who you are in spite of your circumstances. This is who you are in spite of what you're dealing with and how you feel. This is truth. This is principle. And we never put passion before principle. Thank you, Mr. Miyagi. So I was thinking about a song that we could all sing together, but we're not going to. You know, the whole lean on me. I thought about busting out in tune, but we're not going to do that, because I told you guys I cannot sing. So rather than doing that, I just want to take a little bit of time this morning, and I want to pray for anybody that needs some encouragement. Like, here's the deal. Like, it is a human thing. Like, if you feel discouraged, don't be ashamed of the fact that you feel discouraged, or if you're facing something that maybe you think is heavy and you want somebody to pray for you. I mean, what else are we here for? I mean, how meaningless would it be for us to get together and dismiss and not take time to pray for one another? So I want to do that this morning. So if you guys would just bow your heads and close your eyes. If there's anybody in the room this morning that wants prayer specifically, maybe you're going through, you know, a tough season, maybe it's a transitional season in your life, or maybe you're just in a funk, maybe you're not feeling it, and you really could use some encouragement. I'd like to pray for you specifically. If that's you, just slip up your hand, and we'd love to pray for you. Awesome. Okay. Father, we love you so much. God, we are so thankful for your love for us. God, we thank you that you love us in spite of us sometimes, God, and in the ways that we let you down and the ways that we fail you, God, that even while we were sinners, you still loved us, God, and you gave your life for us. God, I pray that we find comfort and encouragement in that. God, this love that you have for us that's not explainable, it's not attainable, God, by anything that we do. It's just something that we receive based on your grace and the faith that we have in you. God, I pray for every person in the room, God, regardless of the circumstances that they face, God, that they would understand that their circumstances do not define them. God, the things that we do, that's not who we are. We belong to you, and that's who we are. God, I pray that there would just be a sense of comfort and peace and resolve and discipline in whatever season that we face. God, to stand tall in the face of adversity. God, knowing that you are with us, that you are for us, and that there is nothing that we cannot do through you. God, I pray that we would leave this place, God, with our heads held high, feeling your love and your passion for us, so that when we go back to whatever it is that we have to face, and when we deal with whatever it is that we have to deal with, God, we know that you're there and that you're with us and that you love us, and that we would continue to encourage one another every single day, to call to our side, God, to find people that we can walk with and do life with, that no matter what we face and what we go through, God, that we're going to do it, and we're going to do it together. God, we love you, and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.